Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master has taken the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 containers of wheat. He said, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And he said, and his master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the word of the Lord. You have to remember, this parable follows the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son is probably the most well-known, the most understandable, the most beautiful of Jesus' stories. This one stands at the opposite. We can't figure this one out. So I'm going to try. You may disagree with my interpretation of this text, but I've been working at this a long time, and it's really confusing. The parable of the prodigal son begins with the prodigal son going up to his father and saying, "I want my inheritance," which means, "I want you dead, and I have no need of you any longer, because I have my inheritance, and that will take the place of you, and that will cover me for the rest of all I need." And within just a short time, he's blown through the money, and he's now feeding pigs, and he's laying around in the slop, and he's coming to himself. The text says, when he came to himself, and he figured it out, and he said, "What was wrong with me? Thinking that if I put my trust in money, that I wouldn't need the Father." And obviously, when Jesus is telling this story, everybody can tell that the Father represents God the Father. The way in which God the Father welcomes the prodigal son home. The way in which God the Father forgives and shows love. And the way in which God the Father says to the eldest son, who is jealous, said, "Oh no, you need not be jealous. I am always with you." Meaning, we have a relationship. And that's the most important thing. Far more important than extreme wealth. Far more important than any wealth. And if you have that relationship with God, you have it made. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And it's always. So there's a flavor in the prodigal son that this is a story that Jesus is telling about eternity, about forever and ever, amen. following that parable, we get this one. And we have to remember that there are two things that we need in life. Two things that remain forever. First is our relationship with God. Second, our neighbors. Our neighbors are neighbors for eternity. Our neighbors are really, really important. Our neighbors represent what is true wealth. And so Jesus tells a story about a rich man who understood this. And he had a manager who didn't understand this. And the manager said, "Oh, there's all this money. What if I took that for myself and was unfaithful to my boss? What if I don't care what that master thinks? I'll just do whatever I want with all of this money. What would matter?" Well, it did matter. The master said, "You're fired. You're out." So then he too comes to himself. And he figures it out. He thinks deeply and he goes, "Wait a minute. What was I thinking? That money was going to be the end all? That money was going to serve me for eternity? Was I foolish or what?" And he figures it out and he turns it around. And he begins to go to the people who owed his master money. And he said, "We'll make it less than it was." Well, what was he doing? He was doing exactly what Jesus urged all the people to do. Make friends with money. Don't make money that you can hoard and keep for yourself. Use money in order to make friends. Because, as Kathleen Edwards sings so eloquently, that's a great song. Who's going to save your soul when your money's no good at all? Who's going to save your soul when your money's no good? Line your pockets with gold. Who's going to save your soul? And he figured it out. That money only lasts so long, and not only can you not take it with you, it's, well, not really true riches. Our relationship with God, yes, that's true riches. Our relationship with our neighbors, that too is true riches. And so Jesus is urging all of us, do your best to make as many neighbors as you can. How do you make a neighbor? Be a neighbor. Be neighborly. As Paul, over and over and over again in the epistles, please live in harmony with everyone as best you can. Make as many friends as you can. Because, well, someday we're going to spend eternity with them. If we start liking them now, well, that's just an advantage when we get to heaven. Now, the master was not upset. You could tell the children were surprised by that. Really? The master commended this old manager that he had fired? He commended, remember, this is not a real story. This is not a historical account. This is a made-up story that Jesus made up. This is not a way to be a manager. This is not a way to be a master. Jesus is telling a story for our enlightenment, our help. The manager says to the man who is able to make friends, he says, "You did good. Sure, I have a little less money, but you have gained all these riches with these friends. I know the real value of the world. I know and understand what are true riches. Friends are far more valuable than wealth." And so he commended him. Wow. And then Jesus kind of finishes it up by saying, You know, if you're faithful with money, meaning that if you use money to, well, be a neighbor, if you use money to show how much you care and love God by giving alms and offerings, if you use money that way, why, you will then be blessed with riches beyond comprehension. God will give you much. Interesting. So that's my interpretation of this parable. Test it out, see what you think. I just think that we live now in a world, and even as Karen prayed today, there is just so much division and hatred between peoples that it seems as though we're making our full-time goal to break up as many relationships as we can, to be at odds with as many people as we possibly can, to not live in harmony. And if somebody says something we don't like, we just say, I'm done with you. I'm never going to talk to you again. What good would that do? And that is so opposite of what the Bible teaches. Completely opposite. That's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to constantly, constantly be working, making more neighbors, friends, people with whom we will spend eternity. I've told you before, I'll say it one last time, the movie Sandlot is one of my favorites. It's about a little boy named Scotty Smalls. And Scotty has just endured the death of his father. And he now has a new stepdad. And that relationship is struggling. And Scotty doesn't know what to do. And his mother urges him, go to the sandlot and make friends with the boys at the sandlot by playing baseball. Well, Scotty is pathetic at baseball. He can't play catch. He doesn't know anything about baseball. He doesn't even know who Babe Ruth is. Well, he tries anyway. And of course, he struggles. Because he just can't. He can't make friends with these kids in the sandlot. He can't make a relationship with his new stepdad. And his mother's grieving and he's grieving and it's really, really tough. And you can tell that he needs help. And he gets it. He gets it from one of the boys in the sandlot, who is, he's like, well, he's like a Jesus figure, really. I will show you the way. I will guide you. I will help you. And that was Benny. And Benny shows him how to catch, how to bat, teaches him about baseball. And then he also gets help from a man named Mr. Myrtle. Now, in their playing, in their effort for him to fit in, they lose all of their baseballs. So Scotty runs into his house and he knows that his father has a baseball. It's you know, on display on the mantle. And he grabs that, and they go out and play with it in the sandlot. And then he explains to the boys after they knock it over the fence in a place where there's this huge dog and it's this scary place on the other side of the fence. He explains to them, well, this is my dad's baseball and Babe Ruth had signed it. And the kids are just aghast. How could you be so foolish? Why on earth would you let us play with a baseball signed by Babe Ruth? And he has no idea. He's just clueless. So finally, he knocks on the door of Mr. Myrtle, who owns this scary place with the mean dog and the place where they can't go get the ball after they lose it. And Mr. Myrtle is blind. And Mr. Myrtle is played by James Earl Jones. He's just this deep voice. He's Darth Vader, you know. He's marvelous actor. And he understands immediately how Scotty's in trouble. And he's going to need help to make friends with these kids in the sandlot. So he gives him another baseball. This one's not just signed by Babe Ruth. It's signed by the whole team. Murderers Row. And he explains to Scotty that he once played baseball with Babe Ruth. He was in the major leagues as well. And now, not only is Scotty as cool as there is, he has friends throughout the sandlot. He has a friend in Mr. Myrtle. Now he's one of the most popular kids in the whole block. Now he's adjusted and well. And when he hands his new stepdad this baseball that's signed by everybody, he now has a relationship with his stepdad. So the message today in this parable is that we are to make friends with as many people as possible. And there is God who will help us do that. God is at work knowing how important this is and how we need this desperately. So God is at work right now, putting an end to all the divisiveness if we're willing to listen. God is at work right now bringing people together in reconciliation if we're willing to humble ourselves. Because we desperately need true riches that last forever.